I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
The golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will come to take his faithful and happy children to their promised home. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst the summons will soon be carried to the nations round. The bridegroom then will cease to tarry and the trumpet sound. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see gleams of a golden morning that will burst the tomb. Attended by all the shining angels down the flaming sky, the judge will come and will take his people where they will not die. Oh, we see gleams of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst from tomb.
Thank you, men, for that reminder of Christ's soon return. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. For the past few weeks, we've been studying from Daniel chapter 11, and our study is titled, The Time of the End. I hope you can stay with me as we conclude that study today. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. This program, The Voice of Hope, is produced and sponsored by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. We use radio, internet, and print to share the good news of the gospel around the world. Each week, our Bible teaching broadcasts circle the globe in English and 16 other languages. We have 3 languages from Central Asia that we're in the process of adding to our broadcast ministry. We also distribute Bibles and literature to supplement the audio teaching. And all of this is made possible through the prayers and financial support of people just like you. Together, we are proclaiming Jesus to the world.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
What a wonderful redemption, never can a mortal know. How my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow.
All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. as about 10,000. In my blessed Lord I see.
Thank you, men, for that song of testimony. And it's really a song of aspiration, too. Can you and I truly say that all that thrills my soul is Jesus? I do aspire to that, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not there yet. As I mentioned earlier, today we're sharing the concluding portion of my teaching, The Time of the End. This study is taken from the latter verses of Daniel chapter 11 and the first few verses of Daniel chapter 12. And so, as we return to our study, let me read the text, beginning with Daniel chapter 11 and verse 40, and reading through chapter 12 and verse 3. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and from the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. At that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars, forever and ever. As a bit of introduction to this section, this is the climax of chapters 10 through 12, as well as the climax of the whole series of prophecies in the book of Daniel. Now, keep in mind, Daniel's people, the Jewish people, are the focus of the entire book. God will keep his promises to his ancient, chosen, earthly people. The end of chapter 11 focuses on the political and religious aspect of the time of the end, while the opening of chapter 12 focuses on Israel as a people. Now, there are three things that these verses in chapter 12 add to the previous revelation. The time of the end has a special relationship to Israel. The Jewish people who truly worship God will experience a time of unique deliverance. And finally, the promise of the resurrection, which occurs at this time, will provide hope for those who have been recently martyred. We'll explore these in greater depth as we continue our teaching. I want you to notice with me how this first verse of chapter 12 begins: "And at that time." In fact, this same phrase is mentioned twice in this verse. This is a continuation of what's being revealed to Daniel in the previous chapter regarding the time of the end. It seems that the events listed here are not subsequent, but rather simultaneous chronologically. That is, they're occurring together. The angel, Michael, is reintroduced as the great, or we could say chief, prince who stands watch over the children of your people. Jude 9 refers to Michael as the archangel, the highest of the angelic beings. And it's stated here that he has the responsibility of protecting the people of Israel. So what is the reason for his presence here? Well, there will be a time of trouble and tribulation like the world has never seen before and will never see again. Even liberal commentators, those who doubt that Daniel is even authentic, agree that these verses in no way can describe the persecution that took place under Antiochus Epiphanes. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, and it's prophesied in many places. It's also referred to as the Day of the Lord and the Great Tribulation, an unprecedented time in the history of the world. One of the earliest predictions of this is in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 27 to 30. But Jeremiah 30 and verses 5 to 7 are very specific. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And then there are additional references in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, which we looked at earlier in this series, Matthew 24, 21, and Zechariah 13 and verse 8. Jesus described this time of great tribulation as beginning with the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's Matthew 24, 15. And as you may recall, the Antichrist will make a covenant with Israel for 1 week, that is the 70th week of Daniel's vision, and after 3.5 years, he will break that covenant of peace that he has made with Israel, and he will desecrate the temple. We talked about that in chapter 11. Then Israel as a nation will enter a time of the most severe persecution and suffering. Jesus gave explicit instructions to his people regarding what they should do and shouldn't do when they see this time of tribulation unfolding. He said that this time of trouble will be so severe that if God would not cut it short, no flesh would be saved. Let's look at what happens during this time of trouble. Daniel is promised that your people will be delivered. This deliverance seems to refer only to those who are actually living at the time of Christ's return. However, there's a caveat, or a condition. The delivered ones will be those whose name shall be found written in the book. What book? I believe the book of life. And this idea about a book of life, as Revelation 21:27 calls it, appears early in Israel's history. In Exodus chapter 32 and verse 32, after the sin of the golden calf, Moses pleads with God for his people, and he says, "If you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." Psalm 69, verse 28, Revelation 13:8, and Revelation 21:27 all contain similar references. I also want you to notice the double reference to your people in this first verse. This may have a bearing on our understanding of verse 2. Verse 2, I acknowledge, is difficult to understand and to explain. And in our understanding of all things prophetic, we need to be kind and gracious even when we disagree. Now first, notice with me that this is not a general resurrection. The text says, many of those who sleep in the earth shall awake. Many, but not all. Is this resurrection limited to the Jewish people who are martyred during this time of the end? Perhaps. Some commentators insist that this is not a physical resurrection, but a spiritual one. But that ignores the literal meaning of the term as it's used throughout Scripture. Bible teachers who spiritualize this resurrection interpret the first part of the verse as pertaining to Israel's restoration. But then they pass over the second part of the verse that addresses those who are raised to shame and everlasting contempt. It's clear Revelation 20 verses 12 and 13 teach us that the dead are raised literally for their final judgment. So this same verb must also mean resurrection for the righteous. The meaning of the word awake is the same in both instances. John Wolford, in his commentary, states, and I quote, "What is presented here is that those who have died will be raised from the dead to join those living in this period of restoration. Israelites who survived the tribulation and who are the object of divine deliverance that's promised in Romans 11:26 will be joined by Old Testament saints who will be raised from the dead. This will occur after the Great Tribulation and at the Second Coming of Christ." That's the end of the quote. Now, as I understand Scripture, there is no clear indication that the Old Testament saints will be raised at the time that the church is caught away, as Paul describes it for us in 2 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. It seems preferable to consider the resurrection of the Old Testament saints as occurring at the time of Israel's restoration. Together with those who survive the tribulation, they will join in establishing the millennial kingdom, which, as I understand Scripture to teach, will follow the second coming of Christ. In addition, those who are martyred during the tribulation will also be raised, as indicated by Revelation chapter 20 and verses 4 through 6. One key to help us understand this verse better, verse 2, is a more accurate translation. And the original Hebrew seems to draw a sharp distinction between the two classes of resurrection. Samuel Tregelles, a British theologian, supported the translation that was offered by earlier Jewish commentators. Here it is: "And many from among the sleepers of the dust of the earth shall awake. These shall be to everlasting life. But those, the rest of the sleepers, who do not awake at this time, shall be unto shame and everlasting contempt." Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, speak of those who were martyred because they refused to worship the beast or to receive his mark. And these are noted as living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 5 then clearly states, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. The second resurrection is revealed in verses 12 and 13, again from Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works." So these verses clearly teach more than one resurrection. A literal reading of Revelation 20 indicates that the resurrection of the righteous occurs at the beginning of Christ's millennial reign, and the resurrection of the wicked takes place at the end of that 1,000-year period. There's something else to keep in mind here. There are gaps that often occur in Old Testament prophecy. Events that are included in the same passage of Scripture are separated by an indefinite and an unspecified amount of time. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 is a prime example. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn," and so on. In verse 2, Christ's first and second advent are addressed, but there's no indication of the many years of time between them. When Jesus read this scripture in the synagogue in Nazareth, he abruptly stopped reading in the middle of the sentence. There's more we could say on verse 2, but I don't want to belabor the point. So let's move on then to the final verse of our text, chapter 12 and verse 3. "Those who exercise wisdom shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." Take note that in this verse, only the reward of the righteous is mentioned. There's nothing about the punishment of the wicked. Again, according to Revelation 20, which we looked at just a few moments ago, their resurrection won't occur until 1,000 years later. The main point is that the righteous, dead or living, can look forward to a glorious reward at the second coming of Christ. Who are the wise that are spoken of in this verse? The wise are those who are able to see through the deception and the wickedness and the unbelief of their time. They are those who will put their trust in eternal values to the point of sacrificing their physical lives. And their reward is they will shine with the celestial glory of the heavens forever and ever. We learn from verse 2 that these wise ones will receive eternal life. And this is the first occurrence of this expression in the Old Testament. It's interesting in verse 3 that these will be given additional glory because of those who have turned to righteousness because of their faithful testimony. The statements of verse 3 echo the events of chapter 11 and verses 33 to 35, but they are not limited to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, because there have been faithful followers of God in every generation, and there will continue to be faithful followers of God until the end of time as we know it. Now, whether or not you agree with my conclusions that I've reached in this teaching, there are some important questions we must ask ourselves. First, am I one of the faithful ones? Am I wise enough to see through the wickedness, the deception, and the unbelief of our time and put my faith and trust in things of eternal value? What about my choices? Do the choices I make each day reflect that I value eternal things far above the earthly and temporary things? Is my life lived in such a way that it is churning many to righteousness? When I stand before God as His follower, and my works are judged, how much of them will be wood and hay and stubble? How much will be gold and silver and precious stones? How many of my good deeds will be burned up, and how many of them will be refined and purified, found worthy of an eternal reward? Today, you and I still have time to make a difference in our own lives, in the lives of others, and in our world. But I must remind you, time is running out. The indicators of the time of the end that the prophets and Jesus predicted are all around us. It seems that we're living in the last of the last days. The time of the end is near. Are you ready?
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God and in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for thee.
My friend, were you blessed by today's teaching? If so, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD. Just ask for it by its title, The Time of the End. We'd be happy to send a copy to you. Or you can go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. To request a manuscript or a CD, contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. www.thevoiceofhope.org or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you may mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and use the contact button on our homepage to make your request. If you'd like to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. That's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, The Time of the End. And while you're at the website, you can listen to the archived programs of my earlier teaching from the Book of Daniel. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I'll look for you next week as we continue our study in the Book of Daniel. And until we meet again, remember this: Jesus wants you to open your heart to Him.